Looking out over the pews, I see there are some folks who have traveled to be with us. People who've come home for the holiday. Relatives who are visiting family in the area. And I also know that there are some people here who today or tomorrow or sometime in the week ahead will hit the road themselves to go off to visit people. We'll travel by plane or train or bus or automobile, and hopefully all of these journeys will be without incident. Some, of course, will hit a snag. There might be a traffic jam, a delayed flight. The bus will be crowded. The weather might turn nasty. But the odds are, for most of us, the conditions we encounter traveling will not be like those confronting Mary. Mary, who decided to go off to visit her relative Elizabeth, who lived in a hill town in Judea. The roads were not particularly good. Transport, not widely available, and if she could get a ride, it would have been in a wagon without any kind of suspension. And there was always the threat of bandits. Yet despite all of these potential obstacles, all of this discomfort, Mary made haste. She hurried to go visit Elizabeth. Now, this is an interesting little story for Luke to tell us, because Luke is the historian amongst the evangelists. He likes to give names and places and data to set the story. We think about the birth narratives. We think about the birth of John. We think about how all of the officials are named to create a context. Yet here, there's a lot of stuff that Luke doesn't bother to tell us. We don't know the name of the town in which Elizabeth lives. We don't know when exactly it is Mary goes to see her. We don't know whether or not Joseph is along for the ride, whether Zechariah is in the house at the moment when she appears. We don't even know what she says as a word of greeting, which suggests that what Luke really wants us to focus on is the response to the greeting. That is what is important. That is what Luke wants to command our attention. And do you remember what happens when Mary offers her word of greeting? Both John, still in the womb, and Elizabeth respond in wonderful, remarkable ways. We hear how John leaps for joy. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she offers words of praise and wonder and affirmation. Pretty remarkable stuff. I hope we all have similar experiences when we go to visit people. Imagine bringing that kind of joy and enthusiasm. Imagine experiencing it. We can joke about it, but think about it. Think about what the world would be like if we knew and lived into that kind of happiness. But when was the last time, other than a few moments ago during the children's moment, we actually jumped for joy? When we were so filled with enthusiasm and excitement that we had to respond with our entire bodies in celebration. Maybe it was earlier this morning. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was 10 years ago. Maybe for some of us it has never happened. And what about being filled with the Holy Spirit? We're Congregationalists. It's bad enough that we just had to engage in some physical display of enthusiasm. We're supposed to experience the Holy Spirit? That's for our friends in the Pentecostal churches to do. We can talk about God. We've got the vocabulary. We can call him Father. We can call him Creator, Author of Time, the one who fashioned the universe. The list goes on. And even though God isn't a physical presence with a body like yours or mine, we have images, thanks to art, to help us think about God. And Jesus, well, we've got Jesus covered. There might be disputes about Jesus' actual nature and identity, about this whole divinity thing for some of us. But we can talk about his ministry. We can talk about his teaching and his healing and his preaching. We can talk about his influence on his community and history. With Jesus, we're in good shape. But then we get to the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, the words begin to fail us, and the ideas become a bit vaguer, inchoate. How do we talk about it? This morning's lesson can give us a clue. We can talk about the Spirit as that thing, that presence that begins to change us and transforms us, that helps us set aside some of our reservations and inhibitions so we can offer praise to God, so we can see things in a new light. To Elizabeth, Mary isn't just her relative, she is now the mother of her Lord. Her horizons have been expanded. Her experience of God has been changed. And it can be a source of strength that allows us to affirm others. Think about it. In a sense, this visit should have been all about Elizabeth. She's the one who's further along in the pregnancy, and Mary came to see her. But Elizabeth doesn't want to talk about herself. She wants to talk about Mary and how blessed she, Elizabeth, is to have Mary with her. And she not only affirms her, she expresses her confidence in God. It was funny reading commentaries. I saw any number of people speculate that the reason Mary went to see Elizabeth was to seek some validation of that fantastic promise the angel brought. She needed to see, to believe. That's not Elizabeth's perspective. She just assumes that Mary believes in the Word of God. And she rejoices in that, and she rejoices in being in the presence of someone who does that. So we have these two wonderful, powerful, marvelous responses to Mary. But it's easy for us to be lost in the individual reaction and lose sight of the fact that there's something that's happening in a little community here. John and Elizabeth are sharing an experience together, which then takes place in a larger context of the visit with Mary, which is then shared with all of us. Let me tell you a little story. Back when Rachel was still pregnant with Chip and we were living in Massachusetts, Rachel often began her day by going to the chapel service at Groton School. Now, the chapel at Groton is this wonderful English Gothic structure, and it has an organ that is worthy of the space. And fortunately, it had a musician who knew how to play that instrument, so there was always wonderful music as part of the daily service. And as the music would be played, the sound would wash over the people. And, as can happen with a great organ well played, the vibrations would ripple through the room. And I remember Rachel coming home to tell me how Chip, in her womb, would respond to the music, the joy. And she was able to share in that joy in that moment. It was something they held together and will always hold together. But I was able to participate too by hearing the story and imagining it. And while I will never know what it is like to carry a child, I at least know what it is like to hear wonderful music and to feel it vibrating through a room. And I can begin to enter into the experience. So rather than have it be something exclusive, it becomes something inclusive. And now I have shared this story, we've shared this story with you, so now you are part of this experience. That is what is happening with Elizabeth and John, thanks to Luke's recounting of their visit to Mary. This joy, this celebration, this transformation that can occur when we let the Holy Spirit into our lives is something that we can all share in, because this story has been told and passed down throughout the ages. And we now have the opportunity to tell others the story. We have the opportunity to tell people that it is possible when God enters into our lives that we can be so happy, so excited, that we can jump for joy. We can tell people that when we let the Holy Spirit enter into us, we can be transformed. And we can be strengthened and given courage. Because as we read this story of wonder and possibility and new beginnings, we know what is going to happen. And we know there will be pain, and we know there will be suffering. And we know that God will be present. That is a reason to jump for joy. So whether you are already here or you're going somewhere else, whether your journeys are easy or complicated, I hope that you arrive at a place of celebration. I hope you find yourselves open to the Holy Spirit, that these days of Advent have cleared a space for God to enter into your life. And I pray that among the gifts we may receive during this season, we will each experience God in such a way that we want to jump for joy.